Krishnaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Kavish Chatanine Vandalapadrubhyascha Vivasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Avnevyo Hare Krishna Parana Sudina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Nanayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim yasam tato jayamudhiraya nashta prayeshva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhakti bhavati naishnihi. Hare Krishna, so greetings to everyone from Poland.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, 从波兰向我们大家问候。
Where the late autumn sun is presently shining.
在波兰呢，现在是晚秋哈，现在阳光灿烂。
And where we are. All continuing to observe the month of Damodar.
我们都在继续过着Damodara 月，庆祝 Damodara 的逍遥。
We're continuing to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, and today we will begin with Chapter 11, The Perfect Society for Social Classes.
我们继续学习圣莲波加瓦坛第七篇，今天我们学习第十一章，完美的社会，四社会阶层。
Up till now we've been hearing the wonderful description of the Leela of Nrisingadev's appearance and of the great devotee Prahlad.
迄今为止我们一直在聆听主女星哈显现的美妙的逍遥，以及完美的奉献者帕拉达的故事。
And for the rest of Canto 7, we have a quite different sort of content.
波加瓦坛第七篇其余的章节呢，它的内容是很不同的。
But like the first 10 chapters, we are hearing from Narada Muni, who is speaking with King Yudhishthir.
第七篇的其他章节一样，我们知道我们是在聆听Narada Muni 和Yudhishthira 大君之间的讨论。
And we may remember where and when this is taking place, this conversation.
我们可能还记得这一段对话是何时何地展开的。
It's happening during the Rajasuya Yagya that's being performed by King Yudhishthir.
当时是在由迪士尼尔大军举行Rajasuya 王祭 的祭祀场上。
And we may remember that something very amazing happened in the yagya, namely, Lord Krishna beheaded Shishupal.
我们可能还记得，当时出现了一个非常令人惊叹的事情，主 Krishna 砍掉了 Shishupal 的头。
And everyone was amazed to see the soul, the Atma of Shishupal, enter into the body of Krishna.
人人都惊讶地看到 Shishupal 的灵魂进入了主 Krishna 的身体之中。
And this was so amazing that Yudhishthir asked Narada for explanation.
这太令人惊叹了。所以尤迪斯德尔大君请求纳尔达摩尼给予解释。
And his explanation is the rest of the first 10 chapters of Canto 10.
纳尔达摩尼的解释就构成了第七篇中从第十章之后所有的章节。
And of course, we can say the great hero of those first 10 chapters is Prahlad Maharaj, the great devotee.
我们知道前十章的内容他的主角呢是帕拉达大君，他是一位伟大的奉献者。
And Prahlad is being celebrated in these 10 chapters as a perfect example of pure devotion.
Prahlad 在这头十章中被推崇为是纯粹奉爱的完美的奉献者。
And because the first 10 chapters, we can say, are discussing pure devotional service, then the question may come, why do we hear about the subjects that are coming in chapters 11 through 15, which is not pure devotional service?
因为头十章内容讨论的是纯粹的奉献服务。然后接下来的这几章里面他讨论的不是纯粹奉献服务，我们可能会纳闷这之间的关联是什么。
The subject of chapters 11 through 15 are going to be Varna and Ashrama Dharma, and this subject it's subordinate to pure devotional service.
从第十一章到十五章，他讨论的是 Varna Ashram Dharma， 是社会阶层，是灵性进阶，这些划分呢，是从属于纯粹的奉献服务。
So the question can be raised: Why are we going back? It seems like we're going back.Backwards, we're going from pure devotional service to something less than that.
我们可能会想，为什么又我们要从纯粹的奉献服务，退步到这个不那么纯粹的社会阶层这个方面呢？
Well, there's different explanations, but one could be like this.
说法呢是各有不同，但是呢其中有一种说法是
The example is given of water. If we want to discuss pure water, then we may give the chemical formula.
我们可以以水为例子，假如我们想要得到纯净水的话，我们可以得到一个合成水的一个配方。
And we may read about this formula, what is pure water, in a chemistry textbook.
我们可以在这个化学书里面来读到这个纯水它是怎样的构成，怎么合成的。
But our experience of water is generally different. We almost never experience pure water. It's always mixed with something.
但是我们对水的体验却是有所不同。我们几乎都没有尝到过纯净水，这水总是会掺杂一些东西。
And similarly, we're getting in chapters 1 through 10 a textbook description of pure devotion.
从第一章到第十章，这个像教科书一样的内容，它讨论的是纯粹的奉献服务。
But after reading, we may feel, oh, this is too high, this is too much, too pure, it's not realistic. What about real life?
通读完这十章之后，我们可能会觉得你讲的内容太纯粹，太崇高了。我们真正的日常生活，怎能做到呢？
So now Narada is bringing us back to reality.
现在 Narada 就把我们带到了现实生活当中。
But also we can say that Varna and Ashrama Dharma are like they're like what we call scaffolding. Do you know what is scaffolding?
I don't know, sorry.
The scaffold is when you're building a new house, they make a structure outside around, which is temporary. It's made just of some metal poles and some wood boards so that the workers can stand.
Yeah. 是的，那个叫大龄工程，就是临时性的建筑。Yes.
So, Varna Ashrama Dharma is like the scaffolding, this temporary structure, which facilitates the construction of this beautiful structure, which is pure devotion.
所以 Varna Ashrama Dharma 呢，它就像是一个大龄工程在支持纯粹的奉献服务，这一个完美的建筑。
So without any such scaffolding structure, we wouldn't be able to construct the nice building. But once the building is complete, then we can take down this outer temporary structure. It's no longer needed.
没有这种临时性的建筑，我们也没有办法建成这种永久性的建筑。所以等到这个永久性的建筑建成之后，我们就可以把这个临时性的建筑给拆毁了。
Yeah. So that's one explanation. There could be others.
这是一种说法。当然其他的说法也是有可能存在的。
Okay. So chapter 11, we have Yudhishthir now.Asking about Varnashrama.
在这第十一章中，有第十二大军询问了Varnashrama 的体旨。
And Narada is very happy to respond to his question.
Narada 很高兴对他的问题做出了反应。
I think we should notice that he uses the expression dharmam sanatanam. This is in verse number 2.
在第二节中，Narada Muni 是尤迪士日尔大军说到了达马萨纳塔纳这一个名词。
And this is very much emphasized by our tradition that this dharma is not something that's just been invented, but it is eternal principles.
我们的传统非常的注重Dharma， 它不是给发明出来的，而是它是内在的固有的生物体的品质，永恒的品质。
Now, if someone's listening carefully, you may immediately have a doubt.
那个仔细聆听人可能立刻就会产生疑问。
You might say.Wait, you just a minute ago you said that it's temporary. You just set it up like temporary structure. You build the structure, your house, and then you take it down. And now you're saying, no, it's sanatan, it's eternal.
所以你可能会说，你刚刚还说这是短暂的，它是要将来要被拆掉的。结果你现在呢？你又说它是永恒的了。
So, which is it? Is it temporary or is it eternal?
那么这种这种直分呢？它是短暂的呢，还是永恒的呢
？Well, it's eternal. It's always there. It's always available, but it's not always required.
它是永恒的，它一直存在。但是呢，并不是一直都需要它。
Or we can look at it a different way. We can say, yes, it's always there.
我们可以换一个角度来看，是的，它一直都在都是存在着的。
But Varnashram Dharma is like the frame around a picture.
Varnashram Dharma 它又像是一幅画，它的画框。
So it's nice, a nice painting is enhanced by a nice frame.
如果你给一幅漂亮的画配上了美丽的画框，然后这个画和画框呢就相得益彰了。
And we may say that without a frame, it is incomplete.
我们可以说，没有这个画框，这个画呢，看上去也不是那孤零零的，不是那么好看。
We can also say that Varna Ashrama is—it's like the social framework around that makes—it's the social framework in which bhakti becomes possible.
我们也可以说 Varnashram Dharma 它也是 Varnashram 它实际上是一个社会的框架使 Bhakti 有可能得到履行
OK verse number 3 Yudhishthir is praising Narada and he's speaking of Dharma Guhyam
第三节中有第十第二大军在赞美 Narada Muni 说他是 Dharma Guhyam
Dharma Guhyam Parang Vidu He says you are a knower of the supreme confidential Dharma
你知道至高无上的最机密的职分。
So this may also be surprising. You may say, "Well, I thought that Varna Ashrama Dharma is very public. It's not something secret."
这也可能会给你带来疑问。你可能在想，我以为 Varnashram 它是众人皆知的，不是什么秘密呀。
But in the Mahabharata, it's explained that Dharma is extremely subtle.
但是在which book?
Mahabharata.
在 Mahabharata 伟大的巴拉达中说到这个 Dharma 呢，它是非常的精妙的。
It's something which is not easy to understand, even though it is about public social life.
即便他谈论的是一般人的社会生活，也是很难于理解的。
And so Narada is what he's giving in these chapters 11 through 15.Is really just a brief sketch of what is Varna Ashrama Dharma.
在十一章到十五章中 ，Narada Muni 只是对这个 Varna Ashrama Dharma 呢，他做出了一个粗略的勾勒。
So Narada begins to speak in verse number five.
在第五节中 ，Narada Muni 开始说话了。
And he refers first. He offers obeisance to the Lord, and he refers to him as Dharma Setu.
在这里，他向至尊人格守神做出顶拜，然后他把至尊主称为是 Dharma Setu.
So this is interesting because.The word setu can mean bridge.
Setu 的意思可以指是桥。
But Srila Prabhupada translates it in the word for word as he who protects religious principles.
Prabhupada 用字对字的翻译原则解释为是保护宗教原则的人。
So I wondered about this and I decided to look it up in Sanskrit dictionary.
Maharaji 呢就激起了他的好奇心，然后他就查阅了一下梵文字典。
And it turns out that setu can also mean the raised earth between, between two rice fields.
就像是这个 setu 也可以指的是两块稻田中间突出的那个土岗，叫田岗。
So in that.In that way, we can think of Dharma Setu. It's protecting, just as the Setu between the rice fields is protecting the rice fields.
这个田埂呢，它实际上是保护这个稻田，所以呢，你可以把这个 Setu 呢，也理解为有具有保护的含义。
And then Narada says, so, okay, I'm going to speak about Sanatana Dharma.
So Narada Muni 说好，我将来将要谈论一下 Sanatana Dharma.
Where does this come from? He says, Narayana Mukhe or Narayana Mukhat. It's come from the mouth, I have heard it from the mouth of Narayana.
这个 Sanatana Dharma 是从哪里来的呢？Narayana Mukhat 或者是 Narayana Mukhe， 我是从 Narayana 的口中聆听到的。
And then comes in verse number 8. Maybe you can read translation to verse number 7.
第七节，至尊生物人格守神是所有伟达知识的精髓，是所有宗教原则的根基，是伟大权威的记忆。有的是 Yudhishthira 王啊，要知道这一宗教原则便是证据。 若以这个宗教原则为准绳，包括人的心意、灵魂甚至躯体在内的一切便会欣然满足。
嗯，So it starts out Dharma Mula. The word Mula means root. So the root of Dharma is Bhagavan.
对， Mula 的意思是根，Dharma 的根基就是薄伽梵。
And Bhagavan is described as Sarva Veda Maya. He is consistent. He is constituted of.He is full of all of the Vedas.
他是一切伟达知识的精髓，也就是说，它构成了伟达的知识。
And then it says Smritam cha. Also, he is the Smriti. He is that literature which is called Smriti.
它也是经典称为 Smriti.
So there's two kinds of Vedic literature. One is Shruti, one is Smriti.
伟达文献分为两种，一种叫 Shruti, 一种叫 Smriti.
And this is alluding that Bhagavan is the source of both of these.
然后这里呢，就暗示薄伽梵，它是二者的源头。
And that dharma is understood through these two kinds of literature.
Dharma 是通过这两种类型的经典呢来得到理解的。
And then it says yena cha atma prasidati.The self becomes completely satisfied by knowing this dharma.
通过了解这种达玛，灵魂呢就得到了完全的满足。
Now we might remember from Canto 1, Chapter 2, famous verse, verse number 6.
我们可能还记得第一篇第二章第六节这首著名的诗节。
Sa vai pung sang paro dharma yato bhakti radhokshaje ahaituki apratiyata yayatma supersidati. It's describing the highest form of dharma is bhakti yoga.
这最高类型的达玛。也是 Bhakti 瑜伽。
And it says that by doing Bhakti Yoga, Atma Prasidati, the self, becomes completely satisfied.
通过履行 Bhakti 瑜伽 Atma Prasidati, 这个灵魂呢就变得完全的满足了。
So now here in chapter 11, canto 7, we're getting the same idea, atma prasidati.
现在在第一篇不是在第七篇第十一章中第七节也有同样的说法 atma prasidati, 灵魂就变得完全的满足了。
And Narada is hinting that this dharma,even it might be external, it can also be satisfying if it's connected with bhakti.
Narada Muni 在这里暗示，即便这种达玛看上去是外在的或者是表面的，但是如果和 bhakti 连接上了，它也会令人感到满足。
Okay, and then we get a long list.Verses 8 through 12 of 30 qualities which Narada says everyone should have. Doesn't depend on particular varna or ashrama. Everyone should be cultivating these.
第八节到十二节 是一个长长的诗节，他列举了三十个品质。那儿的牟尼说，每一个人，不管你是什么玩哪啊，什么阶层，不管你是什么 ashram 什么进阶，你每个人都应该去培养这样的原则。
So there's 30 different qualities listed. I don't know. What do you think? Should we read these?
Yes，这里有30项不同的品质。马上就问我应该读吗？我觉得该读。OK，shall I read？
Yes, please.
译文：全人类应该遵循以下基本原则：真诚、仁慈、苦行，在一个月某一特定的日子戒食，一天沐浴2次，容忍，是非分明，控制心意和感官，非暴力，遵守布施，研习经典，淳朴知足，服务圣人，逐渐放弃不必要的活动，洞悉人类社会不必要而无益的活动，缄默庄重，避免闲谈，思考人究竟是躯体还是灵魂，平等的向众生，不管是人还是动物，派发食物，是每一个灵魂，尤其是在人类躯体中的灵魂，是至尊主的所属部分。聆听有关至尊人格守神的活动和至尊人格守神，它是圣人们的庇护所给出的教导。唱诵这些活动和教导，始终铭记这些活动和教导，努力从事服务，进行崇拜，致以顶拜，成为仆人，成为朋友，全身心的献出一切。尤迪史蒂尔啊，王啊，这30项品质必须是人形生命所具备的。一个人仅凭获得这些品质，就能满足之人格守神。
Okay. Now, we might again be reminded from this of a passage in First Canto.
这可能又让我们想起了第一篇中的某一个段落。
When King Parikshit or before King Parikshit is going to meet the personality of Kali, there's a conversation between the personality of earth in the form of a cow and the personality of Dharma in the form of a bull.
在巴利史大君去见和卡利会面之前，曾经有大地化身为一头母牛和宗教原则化身为一头公牛之间的一场对话。
And in that conversation, Bhumi, the cow earth, is lamenting the departure of Krishna. Krishna has left the earth.
这只公牛和母牛，也就是布米，和达玛之间的对话，中呢，布米他为 Krishna 的离开人世而感到哀伤。
And before Krishna left, she says, I was very joyful. The earth was very joyful.
化身为母牛的布米女神说，在 Krishna 离开之前，我很快乐。
And in that explanation, she lists 40 different qualities that were present when Lord Krishna was present.
他在对话中，他列举了当主 Krishna 在住人间的时候，他有这具备的40项品质。
Because what she's saying, because Krishna was present, in Krishna is these 40 qualities.
他说，因为 Krishna 是临在的，所以在 Krishna 身上有着40种品质。
You can find this list in chapter 16 of Canto 1, starting text 24.
Chapter 16, okay.
Yeah. So we won't spend time with this, but you could make a comparison to see from these 30 qualities in Canto 7 of Chapter 11 and the 40 qualities of Krishna in Chapter 16, Canto 1. There may be some overlap.
我们在这里呢就不读呢第一篇第十六章二十四十节所列举的 Krishna 拥有的四十项品质，但是我们可以把人类应该拥有的三十项品质和 Krishna 具备的四十项品质做一个对比。
So in any case, the conclusion from this list of 30 items is that if one has these qualities, then one pleases the Lord.
在他列举了这人类应该具备的三十项品质之后呢他总结说如果一个人拥有了这三十项品质他就会取悦至尊主。
And of course, pleasing the Lord is the whole purpose of Dharma, of Varnashram.
当然取悦主也是Dharma 和 Varnashram 的全部目的。
Yeah, that's explained in the second chapter of Canto 1.
在第一篇的第二章中已经解释过了这一点。
So here, Narada then goes on to say that how... Oh, wait, one more thing I wanted to say is that we can think of these 30 items as virtues.
我们可以把这三项品质呢视为人类的美德。
So in Western philosophy, one major topic in philosophy is ethics and morality. How should people act? What is the proper way to act?
在西方哲学中有一个主要的议题呢是伦理道德，人们应该怎样正确的行事呢？
And there are different kinds of theories of ethics.
在这个伦理道德当中呢也有不同类型的理论。
And one of these is called virtue ethics.
有一种理论呢就称为是美德伦理。
And the basic idea is, if someone is virtuous, then they will naturally know how to act in different circumstances.
他的观点是如果一个人具有了美德那么他知道自然而然知道在各种各样的处境当中应该怎样行事。
So we could say there's a lot of implied virtue ethics in the Bhagavatam and also in Bhagavad Gita.
我们可以说在《博迦梵歌》和《博迦瓦坛》当中暗示了很多的美德。
Yeah. Okay, moving on. So then in verse 14, or no, 13, in verse 13, we mention of the word samskara.
在第十三节中谈到了蕴诞进化程序。
So this is samskara has a literal meaning of imprint, just like if you are printing a book, you have a process by which the paper is pressed with the letters for the book.
Samsara 呢它本意呢
Not samsara, samskara.
Samskara, 它实际上是就像打下印记一样。
And so the idea is that we receive samskaras in the course of our life, just through life experience.
所以它有一种理念是通过人生的经历我们得到了改造。
And these impressions, they stay with us.
这种印象呢，它一直伴随着我们。
And they determine very much how we see the world and how we act.
它在很大程度上已经确定了我们的世界观以及我们的如何去立身行事。
And so there's a concern to get some scars which are favorable for our lives.
所以我们要重视那些能够对我们的人生有利的改造程序。
And this is the whole idea of the rituals. There's a series of rituals called samskaras, which begin from before conception.
所以有一系列的 samskara, 这种改造的程序，它是从孕就是说受孕之前就开始了。
It is said the main samskara is the marriage ceremony.
据说主要的 samskara 是婚礼。
Because the life of a child begins with the marriage of his parents.
因为孩子的人生是从父母的婚姻开始的。
Okay, now that's just mentioned briefly, and then Narada goes on to give a short sketch of the different duties of the varnas.
这些刚刚呢只是概述了一下，然后呢 Narada Muni 就概述了Varnashram 各种各样的原则。
Yeah. Specifically of the varnas.
他特别概述了，强调的是 varna, 就是社会阶层。
And we might think of these as a description of professions.
我们可能会把它认为是对职业的一种描述。
And he says Brahmins have six different types of profession.
他说到婆罗门有六种类型的职责。
And Prabhupada explains in the purport from the Manu Samhita what are these six activities.
Prabhupada 在要旨当中援引 Manu Samhita 详述了这六种职责是什么。
He says three of these are required, compulsory, namely worshipping the deity, studying Veda, and giving charity.
他说有三项是必须要做的，崇拜神像，研习韦达经，给予布施。
And also a Brahmin can receive charity.
婆罗门也可以接受布施。
It's said that Brahmins are always poor.
这里说到婆罗门总是穷兮兮的。
Because they don't want to waste time just making money, which is not important. It's just temporary.
他们不想浪费时间去赚钱，因为这一切都是短暂的。
But also, if someone gives them a big donation, that's very nice, but then they will spend it immediately.
如果别人给了他们捐了一大笔钱，这是很好的，然后呢，婆罗门就会立刻把这些钱花掉。
They spend it on pious activities.
他们把这些钱用于虔诚的活动。
Or they donate to other people.
或者是捐给其他的人。
So by the end of the day, the Brahmin is just as poor as he was when he received the donation.
所以等到了一天结束之后这个婆罗门和他接受这个布施之前是一样的贫穷。
Yeah. Okay, then, there's mention briefly of Kshatriyas. They should not accept charity.
这里简要的论述了沙迪利他们不应该接受布施。
But can impose taxes.
但是沙迪利可以征税。
But they should never impose taxes on the Brahmins.
但是沙迪利永远不应该向婆罗门收税。
There's a consideration here of economics.
这里有经济方面的考虑。
And of course, economics is what goes on in exchanges between people. So it's a very, very important aspect of social life.
因为经济呢涉及到人们之间的交易，所以这是社会生活当中非常重要的方面。
But it's also about wealth, about value, and where does value come from?
这里面也说到了财富和价值，这些价值是从哪里来的？
Well, that's where the vaishyas are very important.
所以呢，vaishya，也就是说商人呢，或者是农商阶层，他们是很重要的。
Because they are making the production of real valuables, especially through agriculture.
他们在生产出真正有价值的东西，特别是从事农业。
And of course, trade and protection of cows. These are all essentials of Vedic economy.
交易和保护母牛这个也是伟达文化中非常重要的方面。
And then it says for Shudras, Shudrasya Shushusha Vrittischa Swamino Bhavet. Their only business is to be attentive to a master, to listen to a master.
Shudra 唯一的职责就是要专注的去服务主人，听主人的话。
We might say that a Shudra is a hired person, an employee.
我们可以说Shudra 也可以是一个被雇用的人，是雇员。
And we may quickly realize, oh, this refers to most of us. Practically everyone nowadays are hired labor.
我们可能很快就意识到，这指的是绝大多数的人，因为我们大多数的人都是被雇用的劳工。
So this is recognized. It said, "Kalo Shudra Sambhava." In this age of Kali, we are all Shudra.
所以这就是经典已经认可这一点，在这个卡利年代，卡罗苏卓三宝万我们都是苏卓。
Yeah. So then you may ask, so then what's the point of talking about Varnashram Dharma? If we're all Shudra, we should just, be nice Shudras.
所以你可能又会在纳闷了，既然我们是书转，我们就造好一个书转就可以了。您在谈论 Vana Shrama Dharma 有什么意义呢？
But no, the whole idea is that we cultivate Brahmanical or Brahminical qualities, and then we can act as Brahman, which is giving hope to human society.
啊，但是我们可以培养婆罗门的品质，像婆罗门那样行事，这是给人类社会以希望。
Okay, then we have. Then Narada expresses that there is some flexibility in this varna system.
然后 Narada Muni 又解释说，在这个 Varna Ashram 体系当中，还是有一定的灵活性的。
Because he says in verse 16 that it's also possible for a Brahmin to take on the activities of a Vaishya.
在这个世界里面说到，婆罗门也可以从事 Vaishya 的活动。
And it describes also different types of collection which the Brahmin can perform. Collecting called Shalina Yayabara Shila Unchanam.
他这里提到了各种各样的收集，Shalina Yayabara Unchanam, Shila Unchanam.
Yeah. So Shalina means living without any effort.
Shalina 的意思是不经努力而活着。
And Yayavara means going to the field to beg for some rice.
Yayavara 是去田里乞讨一些米。
Which I guess means when the farmer is harvesting the rice, then the Brahmins go and they ask, can you give me some rice?
这就意味着当农夫在收割的时候，婆罗门可以去向这农夫呢乞讨一些米或者是稻谷。
And then the third option is called Shila, which means after the harvest and the farmer is gone and he's taken all the rice with him, then the Brahmin can go to that field and pick up whatever has been left.
这个 Shila 的意思是指农夫啊和收割的人都走了，然后婆罗门可以到那田里去捡他们遗留在田里面的那些谷物。
And finally, there's Unchanam, which is similar to Shila, but it's picking up the grains that have fallen from bags in the shop.
Unchana 呢也是拾捡，但是是从这个商店里面就是米袋子里面漏出来的那些谷物，它可以捡。
So, all these kind of activities are very, very humble activities, no doubt.
毫无疑问，这些活动呢，都是非常卑微的活动。
And one might ask, and I'm also wondering myself, does this mean the Brahmins are only eating rice? They never get any vegetables or any fruit or nuts, only rice?
我这可能会让我们疑惑，是不是婆罗门只能吃谷物啊？吃不着那些坚果和水果啊？
Well, we don't really get any explicit answer to that, but I assume the Brahmins can also acquire these other types of food.
我对此呢没有明确的解释，但是我假定婆罗门呢也可以得到其他类型的水果啊坚果啊什么的。
So then in verse number 17, Narada speaks of a different kind of flexibility.
在十七节中Narada 谈到了各种类型的变通。
You could read, if you like, verse number 17.
第十七节，除非紧急情况，否则下等阶层的人士不该接受那些较高阶层人士所履行的职责。当然，一旦出现这样的紧急情况，除了Kshatriya之外，人人都可以采纳其他人的谋生手段。
Okay, so the word emergency comes. It's, in the Sanskrit, it's, the word is apad.
这里面出现了一个紧急情况，这个范文词呢叫 apas.
Yes. Apad dharma means, dharmas during special times when there's, some unexpected trouble.
Apa Dharma 就是在那种紧急的时期履行的职责。
And so this is referring to that. There can be adjustments when there's an emergency, but there are limits to these adjustments.
当出现紧急情况的时候，你是可以做出一些调整和变通的，但是呢，也是有。有一些条件的限制。
And so this verse is specifying what are the possibilities and limits in emergency dharma.
这首诗节里面就提到了，当出现紧急情况的时候，应该履行什么样的职责。
And this is further explained in the next three verses.
接下来的三首诗节里面对这一首诗节进一步做出了解释。
And here we get some categories of activity.
这里面有各种各样活动的范畴。
There's something called Ritta.Which means collecting grains from a field.
这里成了有 Rita 从田里面收集谷物。
And then Amrita means collecting without begging.
不靠乞讨而收集叫做 Amrita.
Then there's begging grains that's called Mrita.
乞讨粮食叫 Mrita.
And to cultivate the ground is called Pramrita.
耕耘种地称为 Pramrita.
Pramrita. And then trade or doing business is called Satyamrita.
经商叫 Satyamrita.
So all of these can be done, but then there's one category which is forbidden, and that is called Shvavritti, the profession of the dogs.
但是有一种活动是被禁止的，叫 Shvavritti, 是狗的职业。
And here the point is that especially Brahmins and Kshatriyas should never take employment.From or do service for Shudras.
这就意味着婆罗门和刹帝利永远不应该为 Shudra 就是做 Shudra 的这样的工作。去服务
Shudra。 So at this point, one may start to think, well, this whole picture we're getting sounds very, very very, very feudal. You know the word feudal?
Feudalism. It means narrow, right?
Feudalism was the economic system in most places in the world a few centuries ago.
Yes. Yes. I understand. 这是你读完了这些内容，你就能感觉他的思想很封建。
And if you would think this, you would be right. We're hearing a system which the Bhagavatam is in this way expressing a very conservative understanding.
你的想法呢是有道理的，因为佛教瓦坛在这里面它是提供了非常保守的一种理解。
But the advantage of such a system is it tends to be quite stable.
但是这样的体系它有一个好处，就是它很容易保持稳定。
One of the problems with modern economy is there's a tendency toward insecurity for most people.
现在这个经济呢体系它给我们带来一种对绝大多数人的一种感觉，就是一种 不安全感。
And as a result, people are constantly having to change their job.
结果人们就不停地要换工作。
And this is very disturbing.
这也很令人烦恼。
Some of us have experience, huh?
Yes, I have a lot of experience.
Okay, so back to the Brahmins. Let's read verse number 21. Yeah, verse 21.
21节。Brahman 的征兆是控制心意，控制感官，赎罪苦行，清洁知足，宽容朴素，知识、仁慈、诚实和彻底皈依至尊人格所神。
So, this is a list of qualities, and we might be reminded of a similar list in Bhagavad Gita chapter 18.
这里列举了一系列的品质，这可以让我们联想起《薄伽梵歌》里面对一些品质的描述。
Verse number 42 gives us also, I think it's 8 qualities of a Brahman.
薄伽梵歌第十八章四十八节中也列举了婆罗门的像品质。
And it's quite similar to this list.
和这个里面所列举的品质非常的相像。
But now you might say, oh, but this list, it's also describing qualities that were listed in the list of 30 qualities which everyone should have, not just Brahmins.
对，你可能会想，这些品质和人人都应该培养的那三十项品质，其实是一样的呀。人人都应该拥有这些品质，有啥特别？
Well, yes, you could say because the idea is everyone should aspire to have the qualities of a Brahman.
你可以说人人都应该渴望培养起婆罗门的品质。
Next we get a list of qualities of Kshatriyas.
接下来呢我们要有沙地利的品质。
And if you could read this verse.
22节，战场上威慑四方，所向披靡，忍耐坚韧。赋予挑战， 乐善好施，控制躯体所需，宽宏大量，依附 Brahmana 本性，总是欣喜欢畅，诚实守信，这些是 Shadali 的征兆。
So I found it interesting. It mentions that a Kshatriya should be always jolly.
我发现这一点，说 Shadali 应该总是开开心心的，这很有意思。
Which is translating the word prasada.
在梵文里面是，它是对 prasada 的一个解释。
And of course, we usually think of prasad as food.
当然，我们通常会把 prasada 理解为食物。
But it comes from the idea that when we offer food to Krishna, then Krishna becomes pleased. And that pleasure of Krishna, because of our devotion, that is the food which is the remnants.
我们把食物供奉给 Krishna, 因为我们是用爱心去供奉的。Krishna, 他就会很愉悦，然后呢，他接受了，就成为鲫鱼。
But also from Bhagavad Gita, we know in chapter 18, verse 54, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kangshati, that one who has realized Brahman is always Prasanna Atma. It's the same word, Prasada and Prasanna.
在博迦梵歌十八章五十四节就说到，一个觉悟了凡的人，他是永远是 Prasanna Atma， 也提到了 Prasada 这个词。
So to be Brahma Bhuta means to have realized Brahman, which is what the Brahmins do.
成为 Brahma Bhuta 就是觉悟到了凡，这是婆罗门他们所做的事情。
But here it's giving this as a quality for Kshatriyas.
但是这里面却把它列举为 Shatali 的品质。
Yes, because again, Kshatriyas should also be aspiring for realizing Brahman and thus exhibiting Brahminical qualities, not only Kshatriya qualities.
这里的理念是 Shatali 应该渴望觉悟到凡，然后也所以拥有婆罗门的品质，不只是限于拥有沙地利的品质。
And then we get a list of the qualities of the Vaishya. If you want to read,
23节里面提到了 Vaishya 的品质，总是献身于半身人、灵性导师和至尊主 Vishnu。努力在宗教原则、经济发展和感官享乐求得进取，相信灵性导师和经典的话语，努力的以一技之长赚钱，这些是 Vaishya 的活动征兆。
Again, something interesting here is the word astikya, which Prabhupada translates as faith in scriptures, spiritual master, and the supreme lord.
这里面提到了一个梵文词 astikya， 包括的翻译为对经典、灵性导师和至尊主有信心。
Because in the Bhagavad Gita list of the Brahman's qualities, one of the Brahman's qualities is astikya.
在博迦梵歌里面列举了婆罗门的一项品质，就是 astikya。
So you may say, so what is it? Is it a quality of a Brahman or is it a quality of a Vaishya?
所以你可以说，这个品质是应该属于婆罗门呢，还是应该属于 Vaishya？
Well, it's both. The Vaishya should be cultivating this quality again to become ultimately qualified like a Brahman.
所以对 Vaishya 也应该要求他培养这样的品质。总体来说，他也应该培养起婆罗门的品质。
Okay, let's read the qualities of the Shudra.
然后24节是谈论了树者的品质，顶礼膜拜社会的上等阶层 Brahmana, Satria 和 Vaishya 总是洁净，不口是心非，服务一己的主人，举行祭祀但不念 Mantra, 不投盗，总说真话，全面的保护母牛和 Brahmana, 这些是树者的征兆。
There's a few interesting points here. One is it mentions Shocha.
这里面提出了几个很有意思的要点，其中一点是 Shocha,
which again was listed among the qualities of the Brahmins.
这个 Shocha 是洁净，这也是婆罗门的一项品质。
Then it mentions Amayaya, where is it here? Yes, without duplicity.
这里提到了 Amayaya, 不口是心非。
So does that mean it's okay for everyone else except the Shudras to be without duplicity?
所以我们可能会所以我们会说难道只是对树者要求他不口是心非，那么其他三个阶层的人是可以口是心非了吗？
No, it means that starting on this platform, everyone should be aspiring, should be aiming to be non-duplicitous.
他说实际上他的要点是从树者这个层面向上，人人都应该去培养起心口如一的品质。
And then it last line says, "Go vipra rakshanam." They should be engaged in the protection rakshanam of the cows and the Brahmins.
这里面说到了他们应该从事对母牛和婆罗门的保护。 Rakshana 的意思是保护。
So in Bhagavad Gita, in the list of qualities of a Vaishya, it mentions go raksha, protection of cows. Here it's saying Shudras should be protecting the cows.
在佛家梵歌里面提到了 Vaishya 的品质，其中就说到 Vaishya 应该保护母牛和婆罗门，这里面又说到它是树者的品质。
So the idea is that again the practice begins on the level of Shudra, and also it means that the Shudras are assisting Vaishyas in protecting the cows.
这里面的理念也是对母牛和婆罗门的保护，这个实践的原则呢是从树者就开始的，树者是协助 Vaishya 来保护母牛和婆罗门。
Okay, then the next verse, because someone may ask by this time, so what about the women?
这时候有人可能读到了这些内容之后，他可能会想，那女人呢，对他们有什么要求？
So Narada is going to give us four, I think it's four verses, one, two, three, four, no, five verses about Dharma of women.
接下来 Narada Muni 用五首诗节描述了妇女的职责。
And here, this is something which makes us modern people quite nervous.
这可能会是让现代人非常的紧张不安。
Because it seems here the Bhagavatam is being extremely patriarchal.
这里面好像说到这个It means manhood, right? Too much emphasis on the manhood.
Yeah, dominated by men.
Yes, 这个好像这个波迦瓦坛太强，又太有点大男子主义了。
So we don't like, yeah, we don't like to hear this in modern times.
现在的人是不喜欢听这一套说教的。
Times, we say, times have changed.
我们已经说世易时移。
But if we think about it, we may see that on a deeper level, there is wisdom here.
但是如果我们去深思的话，我发现在一个更高的层面，这里面有着深层的智慧。
There's wisdom, but it's depending very much, maybe too much, on qualification of the men.
这也很大程度上取决于男子的他的资格。
It's all about how women should be pleasing to their husband, which is very nice, but what is the qualification of the husband?
这里面自始至终谈论的是女子如何取悦丈夫，这当然是好事，但是我们也会询问这个男子他应该具备怎样的资格呢？
And we see it's very often the case that the women are more qualified than the husbands in the present day.
我们可以看到当今社会中的女子往往是比男子更加具备资格。
One of the qualifications given, this is in verse number 29, is that the women should not be greedy, but should be satisfied in all circumstances.
28节中提到了不应该贪婪成性，在任何情况下都应该心满意足。
So the word is santushta, which means being satisfied.
Santushta 的意思是心满意足。
And this is one of the five aspects of niyama in the classical yoga system.
在这个古典瑜伽体系当中，niyama 里面有这样的一个原则。
Yes, socha, santosha, tapa, svadhyaya, and pranidham. So this is applying not just to women, it's applying to everyone who wants to become spiritually advanced.
这条原则不只是针对了妇女，它是针对了所有的人，任何人想要在灵性上面取得进步，都应该培养这样的品质。
But we can say that it's particularly important for women, because there can be a tendency for women to be dissatisfied with so many things.
但是我们知道这个原则对妇女来说是特别的重要。因为女人很容易对很多事物的感觉到不满足。
Yeah. finally, at the end, it says of this verse, apatitam. The woman should engage in service to the man, pati, who is apatita, who is not fallen.
在这里面说到妇女应该从事对不堕落的丈夫的服务，这个 apatitam 的意思是不堕落的。
And in the purport, Prabhupada says, if the husband is not, if the husband is fallen and addicted to four principles of sinful activity,
帕帕德在要旨当中说，如果丈夫是堕落的，他沉溺于四种罪恶的活动。
then the wife should not associate with him.
这位妻子不应该和这样的丈夫联谊。
And he says it's not that the wife should be like a slave of the husband.
那么妻子就不应该做这样的丈夫的奴隶。
Okay, we're almost at the end of the chapter, and then we can take questions.
是的，我们的这个课程快要讲完了，讲完了以后呢，我们就可以来回答提问了。
The final verse of the five dealing with women says that the model for women to follow is Sri or Lakshmi.
在最后一首关于女子应该培养的品质诗节里面说到女子她的榜样呢就是幸运女神。
And twice in the same verse it says Shrir Iva Bhajet Shrir Iva Tatpara Hayatmana Hareloke Patya Shrir Iva Modate. If the woman worships the husband like Lakshmi worships Narayan, then she becomes or she enjoys like Lakshmi.
这里面提到了两次Lakshmi 像 Lakshmi 一样，她如果像 Lakshmi 服务男人那样去服务她自己的丈夫，那么她就会像 Lakshmi 一样享受着永恒世界的灵性生活。
Okay, then Narada goes on to mention briefly what are called Varna Sankara.
然后那儿呢又简要的谈到了那些 Varna Sankara.
And he's just kind of giving a brief definition of them.
只是对这样的人做出了一个简要的定义。
And he says they have their hereditary customs. They have their particular ways according to their families.
他们有就是通过继承而得到的他的阶层有因为家庭而特定的生活方式。
And all of this idea of Dharma according to Varna is explained to beBased on what's called Svabhava.
所以有这些根据他的社会阶层而得的职分都被称为是 Svabhava.
Svabhava is one's own, you could say, one's own personal mix of the modes of nature.
Svabhava, 你可以说它是我的我可以是人的自然形态混合的表现。
So if you could read verse number
32. 32节。倘若人根据一己所处的自然属性而履行一己的职责，并逐渐放弃这些活动，他会真达 Niskarma 的境界。
So this is the Bhagavatam's realism. It's saying, start from wherever you are at present, and gradually work toward transcendence.
这就是薄伽瓦谈的实际之处。根据你自己所处的自然形态而行事，逐渐的。
And what that's going to mean.
Last sentence, 他会逐渐的超越这些活动。这意味着什么呢？
And what that will mean is gradually giving up one's particular tendencies, one's particular attachments to a particular type of activity.
这就意味着人会逐渐放弃自己的倾向，对某种活动所产生的依恋之情。
And then he gives a very interesting analogy in verses 33 and 34. You can also read this.
33到34节，他给了一个非常有趣的比喻。我亲爱的国王，如果农田被反复耕种，其生产力就会下降，无论撒下什么种子都会颗粒无收，恰似树基树油无法扑灭大火，而大量树油却能易如反掌。同样，过分沉溺于色欲可以完全缓解这此种欲望。
This is an interesting, this is an interesting statement, which in some ways doesn't seem to fit, with everything else that's being said.
这段说法呢挺有意思的，好像跟其他内容的关联不太大。
But in any case, we get the important point in the very last verse, which you can read. Verse number 35.
35节是一个非常重要的观点。倘若一个人展露出如上所述的名为 Brahmana, Satriya, Vaishya 和书者的征兆，即便他出生在一个不同的阶层，也应该按照阶层的征兆去认定他。
So this last verse is one which Srila Prabhupada would quote many times.
最后这首诗节帕帕德多次引用过。
Because this is the point where we see the liberal character of the Bhagavatam.
这里面呢又展示出了博加瓦坛的他的那种宽大的胸襟。
It's not rejecting the Varna system, but it's saying it's not based on birth, it's based on qualities.
他不是在摒弃 Varna Shram 这个体系，他说不要根据出生，而是要根据人的品质来进行划分。
Yeah. Okay, so this was chapter 11, which is a very general introduction, and then we'll get into more details in the next chapter.
所以这第七篇十一章中呢，是给了一个非常笼统的介绍，在后面的这几章中呢，又会详细的进行阐述。
Actually, chapter 12 is going to deal with the four ashramas.
十二章中呢，实际上会去讨论四个 ashram， 就是四灵性境界。
And like that, chapter 13 is, what's chapter 13? Behavior of a perfect person. That's going to concentrate on vanaprastha and sannyas.
第十三章中，它是重点讨论的vanaprastha 和 sannyas， 行脚僧和托钵僧。
Chapter 14 will concentrate on grihastha ashram.
十四章重点谈论是居士的生活。
Then finally, chapter 15 is going to be instructions for civilized human beings.
第十五章又是对文明的人类的教导。
Let's see, Padharma. I think this is going to be again more general about. About the Varnas.
对，马哈尔吉觉得第十五章又是对这个 瓦尔纳的一个泛的教导。
Okay, let us stop there and let's see if there's something you want to discuss.
Yes, 好，我们we have two questions from Rajendra Prabhu.
Of course, from Rajendra Prabhu.
Always from Okay, so first you answer his question, then I ask you my question.
Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. In the sixth canto, it describes the ideal grihastha life. How to how could some content fit the current Kali Yuga in view of different situation and the tradition of each country and each nationality? So according to the principle of utility, how to carry out the actual grihastha principle of life in different time circumstances, that's to enhance one's Krishna consciousness. 我来读一下问题啊。他说，Rajendra Prabhu说呢，第六篇说的是理想的居士生活，有多少内容是符合当今卡利年代的？况且每个国家、每个民族的风俗和情况不同，按照实用的原则，如何在不同的时间、地点和环境找到实际的居士生活原则，从而增进自己的 Krishna 知觉
？Is Rajendra thinking of becoming a grihastha？
Rajendra 爸爸是不是想要去做居士啊？
Well, that's a big question, and it's quite general, and there have been many devotees have given seminars on that subject.
你说的这个问题呢，它涵盖的内容很宽泛，很多奉献者已经为此做出了系列的讲座。
And of course, Srila Prabhupada also gave many instructions.
当然，帕布帕德也给了很多的训示。
And we see grihasthas, some are more successful and some are less successful at being grihastha.
我们也看到有一些居士呢，他是成功的履行了家居的生活职责，而有一些呢，却不是那么成功啊。
But the general principle that Prabhupada emphasized was simply keep Krishna in the center.
但是 Prabhupada 所强调的只是一个简单的原则，把 Krishna 放在你的生活的中心。
And if one keeps Krishna in the center, then everything else is details.
如果你真的能够把 Krishna 放在中心，那么其他的一切都可以算是细节了。
He always liked to engage or to encourage his grihastha disciples to engage in preaching.
帕帕德一直都喜欢去鼓励他的居士门徒从事传教的工作。
And he was always very, very proud of his grihastha preachers. He said sometimes they do better than the sannyasis.
他也为自己的那些居士门徒传教士而感到骄傲，他甚至说他们有的人比 sannyasi 还做得还好。
And he always made the point that ashrama is no restriction. When one has desire to serve Krishna, then it doesn't really matter which ashram one is in.
这个 ashram 它其实不是一个限制， 如果一个人真的想要服务 Krishna 的话，不管他处于什么样的 ashram， 这都没关系。
Of course, especially it is the Grihastha ashram which is responsible in so many worldly duties.
当然 ，Grihastha 要承担很多世上的职责。
And this makes it especially challenging.
这可能特别的具有挑战性。
So, Grihastha has to be very intelligent to make necessary adjustments according to circumstances.
所以 Grihastha 要很有智慧，能够根据时间、地点和环境做出必要的调整。
And this requires good intelligence.
这需要良好的智慧。
Yeah. I think that's all I can say in a general way. With
Maharaji 也只能给你一个大概的指导。
And I can say, I think it's good for householders to get guidance and inspiration from other more senior householders.
我觉得居士呢，他可以从更加年长的居士那里得到很好的指导。
Yeah, because they can give practical advice.
因为他们可以给予实际的忠告。
People ask me for advice, Grihastha advice. I say, well, I've never been a Grihastha.
有人问我关于居士生活有什么忠告可以给，我就说我从来没有当过居士。
So I'm not going to be very good at giving this advice.
我可能不会很擅长给予你良好的忠告。
So my advice is find some good Grihastha Vaishnava and take advice from them.
所以我给你的忠告就是去找到那些良好的居士去从他那里面从他们那里得到忠告或者是建议。
Yeah.
The second question.
Yes.
How it can deal with the family conflict of Grihastha, and how it can deal with the age brahmachari. 他的问题是伊斯康是如何处理居士家庭纠纷的，伊斯康是如何处理真守生的年老问题。
I got the first part of that, but I missed the second.
The second is when the brahmachari become old, how it can deal with them.
Oh. Well, the first, how ISKCON deals with conflicts in the family?
Yes. Yeah.
Mostly, ISKCON does not try to interfere.
对于居士的家庭纠纷，绝大多数情况下，ISKCON是不会介入的。
If householders come to ISKCON managers or leaders asking for advice, they might then give some counseling.
如果这个有矛盾的居士去找管理者或者是领导去请求指导的话，他们可能会给予一些忠告。
And they might suggest what I just mentioned is getting guidance from other senior householders.
或者是就像我刚刚所建议的，从其他年长的居士那里呢得到指导。
There have also been some seminars developed especially for persons who are planning to become householders. So to give them some training before they go into household life.
现在奉献者已经设计出了一些课程，特别是针对那些想要进入居士生活的人呢，课程就是给他们一些实际的训练。
And I know of one couple in Canada. They've been giving seminars, and also they have a website with many resources. It's all in English, but they have many resources for householders. So gradually, maybe something like that can be developed also in Chinese.
马哈瑞知道在加拿大有一对夫妻，他们有一个网站，就是关于这个婚姻问题咨询的，他们有很多的资源和资料，也许逐渐的这样的资源会在中国呢得到开发。
As for older brahmacharis, well, different yatras, I think, are making different arrangements.
对于年老的真守生，不同的雅传呢会做出相应的安排。
I know in Mayapur they have one building for residents just for the senior brahmacharis.
我知道在 Mayapur 有一个栋楼是专门是给年老的 brahmachari 居住的，年长的 brahmachari 居住的。
And because our society is still very young, there hasn't been a whole lot of systematic planning in this regard.
因为我们的这个协会还非常的年轻，关于这个方面的问题呢，还没有一个系统的计划。
So this might be something for Rajendra to he can get into this himself. He can become a leader to help to organize for this purpose in China.
所以有真正跑步可以在这个方面呢成为一个领导来组织来解决这样的问题。
Yeah. Is that okay?
Yes, he still has a question. Actually, I have three questions, Maharaj.
He always has questions.
Rajendra has one question. Another devotee have two questions. So he said, you have visited China many times. What's the problem for China to develop brahmachari?Is that no shelter of the temple or the limitation of the family tradition in China? Or what is the reason? How to develop more brahmachari? Thank you. Rajendra Prabhu 问 Maharaj, 您来过中国不少回了，您觉得中国发展真守生存在的困难在哪里？是只是没有庙宇的庇护，还是中国传统家庭的限制，还是什么原因？
I think this is a question we are all asking ourselves.
我觉得这是我们大家都在问自己的问题。
Certainly, we can say Chinese tradition is one strong factor because family tradition is a very major principle.
我们可以说中国的传统原则呢，它是一个主要的因素，因为中国人特别注重这种家庭方面。
But there is also in China a long tradition of a long tradition of Buddhism, which includes monastic life.
但是中国也有很长时间的这个佛教传统了，然后佛教呢，它也有一个僧侣制度。
So it's not completely foreign to Chinese culture.
所以真守生，这个这种制度呢，对中国文化来说也不是完全陌生的。
From what I've read about this in Chinese history, the monasteries were very much supported economically by the whole society.
阅读中国历史所得的这个些讯息来看，这个就是僧院或者是寺院呢，它在很大程度上得到了全社会的支持。
And maybe that's still partly true in China with present day Buddhist monasteries. I don't know, but it's this sort of thing can also take time. It can take time over generations to develop.
也许现在这个寺院呢，它的情况已经有所变化，但是我认为在中国这种真守生体系可能需要几代才能够得到完善起来。
So, but I think a good starting point is to have the desire for this to develop.
但是我认为一个很好的开端呢，是要有来发展他的愿望。
And also to help especially young men to appreciate that this is a viable alternative to material life.
也可以向那些年轻人推荐，这是对物质生活中相对物质生活一种非常有效的别样的选择。
One program they have started experimenting with, I heard about in Los Angeles, they call it Be a Monk, that they invite young men to come and stay in the temple just for a weekend or maybe for 1 week and be a monk for that short time.
在洛杉矶，奉献者就开发出这样的一个项目，就是邀请年轻的人住到庙宇来做一天或者是做一个星期的和尚。
And they say it's very good. People come and they like it. And even I think some have become brahmachari as a result.
我认为这个试验下来反响挺好的，有些人还甚至真的成了 brahmachari 真守生了呢。
Also, many years ago, I visited Thailand, where there's a strong tradition of Buddhism.
很多年前 ，Maharaj 访问过泰国。泰国的佛教是很盛行的。
And there they have a tradition that young men are expected to stay in a monastery for a period of 2 years.
在泰国有这样的一种传统的做法，年轻人应该到寺庙里面住上两年。
It's like in many countries, young men have to go to the military for 2 years. So in this system, they have to become a monk for 2 years.
就像很多国家年轻人要去服两年兵役一样，这个泰国呢，就是要求年轻人都要到寺庙里面住上两年。
So this is another concept or a similar idea. Who knows? Maybe we can develop this.
所以这是另外的一种理念。谁知道呢？也许我们真的能够把它发展起来。
I think many people get the wrong idea that if I join the Hare Krishnas, then for the rest of my life I have to be a monk.
很多人呢，有这样的一个错误的想法。我加入了 Hare Krishna 运动，我这余生就成了和尚了。
So if we make it clear, no, you don't have to be a monk forever, but it's very good if you spend some time getting this training.
我们可以向他去解释啊，澄清这一点。你可以以后你不一定是一定要做和尚，但是呢，如果你能够做上一段时间的这个和尚的生活，接受训练，这是非常好的。
Yes.
Oh, okay. The mantra has two questions. If the family members, another devotee. If a family members does not follow the four regulative principles, some of them, then what to do? We don't associate with them.如果家人也不遵守四项基本原则的某几种，那怎么办？不联系吗
？No, we can't be too fanatical.
我们不能够过于狂热了。
For one thing, devotees are always tolerant, so we practice tolerance.
奉献者总是很宽厚容忍的，所以我们要练习培养起容忍之心。
Srila Prabhupada tells about his sister. She was married to a man who was eating fish.
Prabhupada 讲述过他的妹妹的故事。他的妹妹嫁给了一个人，那个男人吃鱼。
Prabhupada's sister, we called Pishima, she was a Vaishnavi. She was keeping very strict standards herself.
Prabhupada's 妹妹我们称为 Pishima, 她是一位 Vaishnavi, 她对自己的要求非常的严格。
But she was also serving her husband. She would even cook the fish for him.
但是她也在服务自己的丈夫，甚至为她的丈夫做鱼吃。
And she just tolerated it.
她只是容忍这种处境。
So we can take that example.
所以我们可以把毗湿玛作为一个榜样。Another question. When we distribute books, the person who heard that need to pay, then they refuse to take. Is that okay? We give them for free, or we charge it for some price? 这个奉献者还问，拍摄的话，听说人家听说要付钱就谢绝了，那是送别人呢，还是不送？
Well, I think this is more a question for devotees who are managing this whole activity.
对，Maharaji 认为这个是更适合让那些管理人士来回答。
The general principle is we want people to pay something because in this way they are showing. That what we're giving has value.
一般的原则呢，我们是期待别人来付出一些钱，这就是我们在向他们展示我们所给予的东西是有价值的。
And at the same time, devotees, we have to be flexible in some circumstances. It may be the right thing to do to just give someone a book.
Sorry, Maharaj. Oh, sorry. Can you say it again?
At the same time, we have to be flexible.
与此同时呢，我们也应该非常的灵活去对待。
And sometimes it might be the right thing to do, to just give someone a book.
有时候就给别人免费赠送一本书，倒是一种正确的做法。
So in that case, you may say to the person, "So I'm giving you a gift."
所以，在这种情况下，你会说，你会对这个人说，我在给你一个礼物。
What's the word for gift?
礼物。
Li Wu. So I'm giving you Li Wu, and you should similarly also give a gift. If you don't give to me, that's fine, but you should give to someone else a gift.
我再给你一个礼物。如果你没有礼物给我的话，那你至少应该去给其他人一样礼物。
And the best gift you can give someone is after you read this book, you give it to someone else.
在你你能够给予我最好的礼物就是，你把这个书读完了以后呢，再去给予其他的人。
Yes.
If my husband, Mata also has another detail. If my husband smoke, drink, and eat meat, so I also not associate with him. 这位 Mata 问，丈夫抽烟、喝酒、吃肉，难道也不和他联姻？How to deal with such husband?
Oh, dear.
天呐，马上就说天呐。
What to say? Pray to Krishna to give you wisdom. What is the best way to deal with him?
向 Krishna 的祈祷，让 Krishna 告诉你是怎么样跟你丈夫打交道。
In any case, always be his well wisher.
在任何一种情况下，总是做他的祝福者。
And because you are a devotee and you are wishing him well, so somehow or other Krishna will bless him.
因为你是奉献者，你一直在祝福他，不管怎么样，Krishna 也将会祝福他。
Yeah. And try to appreciate his good qualities.
努力去欣赏他身上的美好的品质。
Everyone is part of Krishna, so everyone has good qualities.
每个人都是 Krishna 的一部分，所以每个人都拥有某种美好的品质。Yes, so Maharaj, can I ask my question?
Yes.
Yes. For the men, if they don't discharge semen, then they can keep the vitality. They have a good memory, determination, and strength. But for the woman, how to keep good memory, build up the strength and determination? 我问马哈。就是男子，如果他要不去浪费他的精液的话，他会有很好的精力、记忆力和体力。 还有很强的决心。那么对女子来说，她怎么样能够做到有这样的强大的精力和记忆力和决心呢？
I think this is a question for an Ayurvedic doctor.
王二姐说，觉得这个问题应该去问阿育伟达医生。
You can ask Bhaktivinod Prabhu in Hong Kong. He's the expert.
王二姐觉得我可以去问 Bhaktivinod Thakur, 他是一位专家。He will challenge
me. I think the general principle that's always emphasized is chastity.
马哈尔说这个所强调的一个普遍的原则就是贞洁。
It's always said that a chaste woman becomes very powerful.
这里面一直说到一位贞洁的女士，她会变得很有力量。
Yeah.
And for a brahmacharini, how to become powerful?
chant lots of Hare Krishna mantra.
那我就问马哈尔姐是 brahmacharini 该怎么样变得有力量呢？马哈尔姐就说要念诵很多的 Hare Krishna mantra.
And in this way, you are being chaste and faithful to Krishna as your husband.
这样的话我们就对 Krishna 保持贞洁和忠诚，把 Krishna 作为当做自己的丈夫。
Yeah.
This mantra, Mataji still has not finished her question. She asking, if I want to go for devotees association, shall I say a lie, tell him a lie, or I speak the truth that I'm going for a devotees association. Mantra 还没说完呢，他说如果我要去联谊啊，是欺骗他呢，还是说实话呢？
This depends very much on your personal relationship, and it depends on your own choice.
这很大程度上也取决于你和你丈夫之间的个人关系，还有你自己的选择。
Of course, the best is always telling the truth.
当然，最好的办法是总是说实话。
But you have to know yourself whether you need to, shall we say, adjust the truth.
你当然你是比较了解自己的情况，你是不是要需要做一些关于事实的调整呢？那你要自己斟酌决定。
Yeah.
Okay. So much for today.
Okay.
Thank you so much for sharing the nectar with us.
Thank you so much, and my thanks to everyone who has joined us.
马哈尔姐说，非常感谢所有来加入我们讲课的。
About how many people do we have with us today?
今天呢，尤格达妈妈她局有多少人在线聆听啊？She cannot. She's typing. How many?36.
36, okay.
Not
good.
Yes.
So I will say thank you all, and I will say Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. And may you all continue to have a very nice month of Damodar.
马哈尔就说希望我们大家能够继续拥有美好的达摩达尔月。So, 马哈尔就 when will you give next class?
Next class, well, let's see. Um, What about December 1st?
December 1st, okay. Same time, 7 to 9 p.m., right?
Yeah.
Okay. 所以我们下一次呢，马上就预计是在12月1号晚上7点到9点再给我们讲瓦坛课啊，第十要讲的是第十二章，第七篇的十二章。OK, thank you so much for sharing with us, so much, Nick.
Thank you so much, Jai. Itai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.